Blog Talk Radio.
All right, Real Sports Talk Radio, get ready to go on the air now, and I'm all alone. We're going to be talking the world of sports. Hope you stick around. We have a great show today. Let's get this party started. Radio on the air. I am the one and only Randy Zelia here. No Jose Padilla this week. He is off for the holidays. Again, I'm working on getting his type of a contract so I can have that type of time off. So much going on in the last week of December here. In the sports world. Big show. Kenny Anderson at 11:35 to go over some NBA. We have true and false. Thumbs up, thumbs down a little later on today. Sound off. A bunch of different people going to call and keep me company here in my my little time of lonesome. And there's so much to start here. For those who were watching the NFL game last night between Atlanta and Detroit, saw Calvin Johnson break the all-time mark passing Jerry Rice. I'm trying to figure out in today's society if the records that are being broken are really record. You know, are we, because of all the technology of working out and performing enhancing, not let's talk about drugs, but just in general performing enhancing, Are these breaking these records a surprise to anybody, or like, should this be a shock? Like, some of these records are falling down. You know, when Roger Maris's record broke back in 1998 for Mark McGwire, and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, it ended up being some help of performance-enhancing drugs. Football's a little bit of a different animal. I don't think there's any type of real chemical you can put in your body that can make you better than everybody else. But this, you know, we're not downgrading Megatron's big night. You know, he passed some big names this season. He, passing Jerry Rice, Marvin Harrison, big names. Michael Irvin. In fact, I'm going to give you the list right here. Calvin Johnson, 1,892 yards, broke it this season, passing Jerry Rice, 1,848 yards. Isaac Bruce, St. Louis. Back from 1995, 1,781 yards. Charlie Hennigan from Houston, 1,746 yards. Marvin Harrison, 1,722 yards. Torrey Holt from 2003, 1,696 yards. So I'm not downplaying Megatron's big accomplishment, but I think it's something that has to be thought of in today's society when there's so many different ways of performance enhancing. Is this a big feat? Are we making a bigger deal of it? If we're possible, then should we ever have any doubt on some of these football records that we've got? We have first bell, opening bell coming up in about a minute. Real quick, if you want to contact the show, 760-283-0846. You can follow me on Twitter at RZeliaBSD. Of course, always go to backsportspage.com. You can follow Jose and I on Facebook at Real Sports Talk Radio. Guys, seriously, it's the holiday season, and we want to know if your sports team could give you one gift this season, what would it be? If your sports team could give you one gift, what would it be? Would it be a championship? Would you be able to be accepting of a winning season? If you're the Jets, would you like to have a quarterback that can play? In all different things that we would, what would you like to see from your favorite sports team give you for Christmas? So, and also what's great about Christmas for me is always the NBA games. Great slate of NBA games. You have Brooklyn and Boston, the Knicks and the Lakers, Oklahoma City Thunder and the Miami Heat, Chicago Bulls and the Houston Rockets, and you also get the Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Clippers. So there's so much going on here. Kenny Anderson, like I said, are joining us in about a half hour. We'll be able to talk a little NBA with him. And as well, I will be having Sarah Gordon join me in a few minutes, as well as other guests, including Jay McGuire from BackSportsPage.com, Mike Tramatozzi from Talking Sports with Mike T, every Monday on this station. You can check him out, and he does a great show. If you have the opportunity to listen to Talking Sports with Mike T, he's great. I make sure I've got to listen to it every single week. It's one of the top-rated shows here on the Backsports Page Sports Network. Definitely should check it out. Also this week, if you are a New York Knicks fan, you can join in the chat with me on nyknicks.com. I will be chatting live during Wednesday's game and also Friday's game against Sacramento. So you can listen, you know, talk with me during the game, and you can hear me talk about Jason Kidd, Carmelo Anthony, Tyson Chandler, all the members of the New York Knicks during the game Wednesday and Friday. So I guess it's almost time for opening bell. Okay? And during opening bell, of course, what we do is we take one topic that's very hot in the sports world for this past week, and we, you know, Jose and I discuss it. Jose's not here. So we're working on it. You know, who am I going to argue with? I can argue with myself. I argue with myself every single day, but no one seems to listen. What we can do is whoever joins me first, they'll join into the conversation. Guess who's on the line with us right now? Real Back Sports Talk Radio. Okay, so we're messing around and trying to have some fun here with Jose. Jose's not here. Plus, oh, by the way, folks, I know those who follow us on a regular basis, we have the Pick 6 Challenge right now. I think this bet is now set in stone. Jose and I pick 6 games, three of the same games. We can either go head-to-head or pick the same winner. Or we can go one-on-one. Now, with that being said, we basically picked 6 for this week. By the way, the other 3 games we pick for each other, and we have to pick. And basically, you know, my success rate, I've been a little surprised. I'm 7 games ahead. I'm 7 games ahead of Jose right now. And we're going to keep this going with him. He's 2 weeks to make up 7 games, unless I totally bomb the next 2 weeks, which is possible. You know, it's almost like flipping a coin with me for the amount of NFL knowledge I know. And I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good with what I know as far as the NFL is concerned. But he claimed to be this great prognosticator. I think I said that correct. Prognosticator. And he is not done well. And I'm shocked. I'm really shocked with Jose in this whole entire thing. And I'm not talking him down. You know, he's a good friend. He does a great job on the show. But I have a 7-game lead. And last week I was very unsure about my picks, and he and I both finished 3-3. I need to go 0-6 this week, and or, you know, he needs to pick up 3 games this week and 4 games next week. I don't see it happen. And so the lining of the bet now is if I lose, I have to drive he and his wife to a restaurant of their choosing, and I'm picking up dinner. Do I think that's fair? Absolutely not. Do I think that's fair? Absolutely not. No. I would personally like to keep things sports related, but I don't know if we're going to. For me, if I win, oh yes, we keep it sports related. If I win, Mr. Jose has to show up at his favorite sports bar. He has to show up to his favorite sports bar. And he is an anti-Yankee guy. He is an anti-Jeter guy. He just doesn't work well with him at all. He is going to sit at his favorite post during the Mets-Yankees Subway Series. And he is going to be wearing a Derek Jeter jersey. And then we will be taking pictures and putting it on our Facebook page. Does the punishment fit the crime? I believe so. I believe so. Am I liking every second of it? Oh, yes, I am, my friend. Oh, yes, I am, my friend. With that being said, we're going to do opening bell. And this week's opening bell is always brought to you by the Dutch House in Fairlawn, New Jersey, DutchHouseTavern.com. Best wings, best time, good friends. Only at the Dutch House. It is now time for opening bell. All right, Opening Bell, again, brought to you by the Dutch House. Okay, so Opening Bell today is very, very simple. Opening Bell is the New York Jets quarterback situation. Back Sports Page, Real Sports Talk Radio, you're on the air with Randy. How can I help you? Okay, today's Opening Bell is the New York Jets quarterback situation. You think it's going to get better, and it's like a train wreck. You just can't help but get worse. And you can't help but laugh because Tim Tebow's getting passed up. The way Tim Tebow has gotten passed up has been absolutely ridiculous. And you almost feel for him because, you know, he didn't sign up for this. I think behind the scenes by Woody Johnson, I think Tim Tebow got told that he was going to have an opportunity to start. I think that's really what he got told. I think that this move was done against the Rex Ryan's wishes, against a lot of the organization's wishes. And should we be shocked about this? Like, should we be shocked that this is what the New York Jets have put their fan base through this year? Like, I want you to really think about everything that has gone on with the New York Jets this year. Has there been more of a train wreck team in the NFL this season besides the New York Jets? Honestly. Okay? First off, let's be honest. Okay. Jose has yelled at me plenty of times on this show about giving a free pass to the Jets about Darrell Revis and losing Santonio Holmes. Okay. I do think that has to be put into consideration. The loss of Santonio Holmes, the loss of Darrell Revis for the lack of the Jets' success. But that doesn't excuse the whole situation that the organization is having with the quarterback situation. But McElroy is starting today. He gets passed over Tebow. Did we all forget that Tebow won 10 games last year? I'm sorry, not 10 games. Yeah, 9 games, kind of the playoff games. So are we forgetting that the team was 1-4 before Tebow took the field last season? Are we forgetting that he beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, a 2-time defending champion, 3-time Super Bowl appearance team over the last 7 years? Are we forgetting all that, and all of a sudden this guy has to sit on the bench and watch Greg McElroy start over him today? This is not for nothing. Sanchez has been a disaster area. And if anyone tells me that I'm being hard on Mark Sanchez, I think I'm taking a light on him. Mark Sanchez is a walking turnover. And it's just a simple way it is. As you can tell by the laughter, Sarah Gordon has joined us this morning. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
We're in the middle of Opening Bell here, and we're talking about the Jets quarterback situation. And I'm finding it comical because not only the Tebow stuff, but there are still people who are sort of sitting there saying, well, you know, don't give up on Mark Sanchez yet. The most successful thing besides going to 2 AFC championship games Mark Sanchez has done was boost the sale of GQ magazines, buying, you know, gross numbers in the New York area since he did that GQ spread back his rookie year. That's the only thing he's really done successful here in New York. And those 2 AFC championship games, he basically was a game manager. It was based on the defense and the running game, which the Jets have gone away from on both ends. And they usually say in pro football, when a new coach takes over, it takes his third season for that team to become his team. And Rex Ryan, and this is now his team. The first 2 years, I felt he had Eric Mangini's players, he had Eric Mangini's teams, and he has his concepts. Rex Ryan is nothing more than a good defensive coordinator. And I think he's oblivious to what's going on. Sarah, you live in the New York metropolitan area. You see the sports headlines. What is your opinion of the state of the New York Jets?
I think they should just throw in the towel. I think my son would do a better job than Sanchez, do a better job than Tebow, and the third string, I don't even remember his name right now.
Greg McElroy.
Thank you. He's supposed to be good, McElroy, but I think the biggest problem that the Jets have is that nobody has faith in Sanchez anymore. They've lost that last season by the end of the season because of all the shenanigans that he was pulling, all the comments and, you know, blaming everybody but himself as the problem. But
I love that you use the word shenanigans. That's a great word, I think, because people have been using circus. People have been using, disasters. Shenanigans is the right word. Sarah, hold on 1 second here. Real Sports Talk Radio, you're on with Randy and Sarah. Real Sports Talk Radio, you're on with Randy and Sarah. Hey, I guess we dropped the line there. I'm a huge proponent of doing things that make sense, and it seems like things just didn't make sense. I said this during the preseason. I sat at an Applebee's with a friend, and we were sitting there, and he looked at me and he says, "How do you think the Jets are going to do this year?" And it was the first preseason game for both the Giants and the Jets, and you had the Jets on one screen, the Giants on the other, and it was almost like, here's how to rebuild your team in the offseason, and here's how not to rebuild your team in the offseason. And the Jets basically needed help with wide receiver. They needed a backup running back, and they needed help on both offensive and defensive lines.
They needed everything.
And what did they do? They bring in Tim Tebow. The Giants, on the other hand, needed a backup running back. They needed to fill a wide receiver spot, and they needed help both on both lines. And the Giants did that. Now, bearing, obviously what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks, let's see what the side, whether the Giants are going to make the playoffs or not. But at least, the organization knows what they're supposed to be doing to fill in holes. And the Jets just didn't do that. And the problem is they have a general manager that's basically working from the cap, from the money standpoint. Sarah, we have a caller here.
Okay.
Real Sports Talk Radio on the line with Randy and Sarah.
Hey, Randy, it's Mike. What's going on?
Okay, folks, now joining us right now, the host of the world-famous Talking Sports with Mike P. Mike Tremontoni. Listen, I got to hype you up, man. Listen, you need some love. You're one of the most downloaded shows on our network. So, listen, we're talking Jets football right now. And this is the opening bell segment. By the way, for those who are listening, opening bell is brought to you by the Dutch House in Maryland, New Jersey. Good times, good friends with friends. DutchHouseTavern.com. Also, if you want to join in the conversation, 760-283-0846. Mike, Sarah and I were just talking, and we were discussing, you being in this New York metropolitan area, the difference between this past offseason with the Jets and the Giants, where filling the holes and filling the needs, and the Jets certainly didn't do that by bringing in Tim Tebow. I think Sarah used the word correctly, shenanigans, because it's all shenanigans coming from Florham Park. Can the Jets recover from all this? Or do they have to basically cut the whole thing down and say, we're going to start from scratch again? Or can this be salvaged?
It's not possible to salvage.
No, it's not. It's not at all. What another word that you can use is BS, because that's pretty much what Rex Ryan gives you every day of the week. And for 2.5 years, people were lapping it up like, oh, this guy's great. Look at how he talks. This is fantastic. Because they were winning. But if you look past it, you realize he has no clue what he's doing to run a team.
Neither does his brother.
No, none of them do. Their dad didn't either.
Mike, I don't know if you remember this. I don't know if you were old enough to remember this. And this is showing my age, folks. I think it was back like in 1993 or 94 when Buddy Ryan was an assistant coach. I don't remember if it was from the Arizona Cardinals or the Houston Oilers.
Well, he punched Kevin Gilbride?
Yes, when he punched Kevin Gilbride on the sideline.
Yes, they were in Houston. Yeah, they were in Houston.
It was in Houston. And I just remember this. And as we're talking about shenanigans in the Ryan family, and I just remember Buddy Ryan all of a sudden just turned around and popped him. And we were just sitting there going, did he just punch his assistant coach? And then the next reaction,
couldn't you see one of the brothers doing that? Couldn't you see Rex or Rob doing that?
Listen, Rex Ryan has lost his swagger. If you remember in this media market, for the last 2 years, the first 2 years here, there was nothing he wouldn't say. He would go out and limb call himself the coach of the year, and the team was Super Bowl contenders. And when after they failed against the Steelers, he knew better. I think last year's team, the Jets team, had talent-wise, was probably one of the best teams in the NFL that just didn't resonate with each other. When you have Plaxico Burress, who still can play, I think you don't give guys like Tito, Chad Johnson, and Plaxico Burress, even though they're older, the credit that they can still play. You had Santonio Holmes, and you had, but Damian Thompson is your backup running back, and you had, Sean Green. It's just, it almost frustrates you with all the weapons that they had last year that they couldn't be better. Now, you have these guys who are just like you, like Sean Hill, you're sitting there going, who the heck are these guys? And you're telling
but
me that these
the
guys
point.
Are supposed to have to win? Well,
that's the point, though. That's the point that you make about Rex Ryan being clueless. This is the guy who, before the final preseason game, said on paper, this was the best team he's ever had, and this is the most talented team he's ever had. When if you just looked at the roster, you realize they had one wide receiver, one running back, that I don't understand how you could look at that roster before anybody got hurt and with a straight face, confidently, say that was the best team he's ever had. That's the mindset of him. He just says stuff that doesn't make sense, and he just expects people to believe him.
Okay, I also want to remind you about two things. One, he could have looked at the paper and said this is the best group of guys he's ever had, being that these are probably the nicest guys he's ever been around, and that I can understand about. The other part...
Well, it's because you have Tim Tebow.
I also want to remind you of the guys he let go. He let go of Thomas Jones, Rayon Washington. But Danny Collinson says he wants nothing to do with the organization. He's one of the classiest guys in football. Okay? So, with that being said, it's a train wreck. It's a disaster. Mike, if you want to hold on for 1 second, we also have our Dallas affiliate at Sports Page, the one and only Jay McGuire, John Staples, joining us. And I want John, I wanted to ask what the mood is in Texas is today, especially about the Cowboys' big game against New Orleans. Sarah, being a big Cowboy fan too, would love to know the feel. Is it anxious? Is there trust in Romo to bring this team to the playoffs?
Well, it's 70 and sunny for today, but we're also expecting snow on Tuesday. So I think that's going to be the mood coming. Everyone's up, but that's just Dallas fans in general. But, I mean, it's there's a lot of uncertainty for sure, but there's a lot of question marks. And there's a fair share. I'm sitting with probably about 5 guys want to fail so Jason Garrett gets asked to leave and they bring in and possibly a Sean Payton, but I don't know. It's upbeat, but that's just Dallas, in general. So,
well, I want to first say for it being 70 degrees and sunny out there, I hate you. Second of all, because I really would like that weather, and it's 35 degrees here. With the Cowboys, and Mike and Sarah can feel free to chime in on this. Their backs are really against the wall, more than the Giants in this situation. I think even more than the Redskins, because they don't win this week. Next week's game against Washington is almost meaningless. Whereas the Giants sort of could be in a situation where if they split these two games, they could still get in. The Cowboys must win today to even
They're
have
going
a shot.
To.
Have it next week.
They're going to win today.
Jay, any general feeling? Is that the feeling down there in Cowboy land today?
I mean, without question. But, I think there's also a certain how long does this go on? I mean, there's a lot of people that think that Dallas Cowboys should not – I mean, this is national, that Dallas Cowboys, with the talent on this team and the talent that, the money that's being thrown around, they should not be – a team that continually has to work their way into the playoffs. They should be a team that, the 90s Cowboys were already had it, summed up and resting players by this week. And so a lot of people are questioning, why are we continually being a team that has to work their way into the playoffs instead of, with the talent on this team. There's something going on. They're upbeat, because they want to see this team in the playoffs, but, in the back of their mind, there's always that, I don't know what's going on, but hopefully this week changes. I don't think it will. I don't think it will be being close. I think New Orleans has found their groove, and I don't think Dallas Dallas is probably going to lose big early on and then make a little frantic comeback in the fourth quarter, and it's going to be too short. But I don't think they can stop Drew Brees.
Mike, I also want to ask you to chime in on this one, too, because you're getting more of the Giant perspective up here. Mike, the pressure on the Giants, it almost feels like it's, you watch and listen to sports talk radio up here, but the Giants, they pretty much written off the Giants. Pretty much said they're saying is,
it's funny because you would expect a lot of the pressure to be on the Giants, considering it's got to be like the fifth year in a row they've led the division by multiple games at the halfway point, only to have this like cardiac end of the season. But I would bring up an interesting point. I almost feel like there's more pressure on the Redskins than the Giants, because a lot of people right now have jumped off the Giant bandwagon. They don't trust the Giants. They're too inconsistent. They're this, they're that. They're not playing well. The defense is playing terrible. The defensive line subpar. Everybody now expects the Redskins to win the division. The Redskins are no longer this like up-and-coming story with RG3 and everything. People now expect the Redskins to win out and win the division. That adds a little bit of pressure. Now they're playing the Eagles, who stink, and then they have the Cowboys. So it kind of favors out that one of those games, they're probably going to win a bowl. But I would argue that if it's not equal amount of pressure on the Giants and Redskins, because the Giants have pressure just to make the playoffs. I don't think you want to go from winning the Super Bowl to blowing a three-game division lead at the halfway point to not even making the playoffs. So there's pressure on the Giants, but I would argue that there's equal, if not a little bit more, on the Redskins, because now instead of the Redskins just getting into the playoffs and being a nice story, people now expect the Redskins to win the division.
I agree with you on that, and the other big key to that is also, Sarah's heard me say it on the show, Jose has heard me say it repeatedly on the show. I said that the RG3 experiment for the first season was going to equal into a very exciting 6-10 team, and now they have a shot to win the division. You know, this is a big deal in Washington, and now we're going to see how RG3 handles the pressure, and that's going to be the real test. Real quick, Mike, what do you have coming on this upcoming Monday? What do you do? What's on the show? Are you going to be live this upcoming Monday?
I will, actually. As of right now, I believe we are. I've been planning as if we are. Obviously, with Christmas Eve, those things can change in a drop of a hat. But I believe we will. We're going to look towards all those NBA games on Christmas Day. You've reached the first trimester period of the NBA season, which is always a good barometer of where your team is at and a good barometer of whether or not things are here to stay or whether or not teams are kind of starting to fall by the wayside. Like, you know, everyone was very excited when the Bobcats were 7-5. No one's happy anymore when the Bobcats are, what, 7-20 now? Is that it? They lose.
Yeah,
they're pretty close to 7-20 now.
Everyone
was really down on the Everyone was really down on the Clippers at 8-6, but now everyone's in love with the Clippers after 12 straight. I'll spend a little bit more time than the others talking about the Knicks-Lakers game, because I am a Knicks fan. And I do think that the way the Lakers are playing, the way they played last night, everyone wants to be happy because Steve Nash is back and he hit the game-winning shot. But I might be the only one who didn't see the, 13-9, I think Nash had, or 15-9. But I saw 45. That was the amount of minutes he played at almost 40 years old. I also saw 41, which is the amount of shots Kobe Bryant took just to get 34 points.
Yeah,
so,
there's a major problem with that. Major problem.
You know,
with that.
When you play four guys over close to 50 minutes in a game, all of which, except Dwight Howard, are over 30 years old, that's a typical Mike D'Antoni move. Amari Stoudemire has never been the same. Amari Stoudemire has never been the same, and you can attest to this, since he got run into the ground in November and December 2 years ago, because that was the only guy that could score for the Knicks. And D'Antoni was playing him 39, 40 minutes a game. And he's never been the same. He's never been the same player. And he's going to do that with this team because there's nobody else. When he does that, it's not a 33-year-old Nash and a 24-year-old Stoudemire, and a 27-year-old Sean Marion. These are all guys over 30 years old, and I don't think he trusts his bench to play those guys 35 minutes. You're going to see Nash is going to be playing close to 40 minutes this year, and I think by the end of the year, it's going to completely backfire on him.
By the way, I just want to really quickly let you know the Charlotte Bobcats. They're going to be the Charlotte Hornets again soon. The Charlotte Bobcats.
I'm excited for that. I want to see the old color scheme.
I want to see the old teal colors, dude. I would rock the house. Charlotte lost 15 in a row, and the Clippers have won 12 in a row, and are 20-6, one game behind Oklahoma City. And the Los Angeles Lakers right now are 13-14, 8.5 games from the number one spot in the Western Conference, and they are 11th right now in the conference.
Nobody likes to talk about that they've won 5 in a row. But nobody wants to mention that they beat the Bobcats by a point. This is the same Bobcats team that you've just said lost 11 in a row and has looked disinterested in a lot of their games in the second in the. You know, on the especially on the road, and they won by a point. But no Laker fan will mention that. They'll just say, "Hey, we won. That's all that matters." And then they're right; it does. But that's you know, the Lakers have given up 100 points in almost every game D'Antoni's coached. That's another thing; they don't play defense. You're gonna try and get into shootouts with the Clippers and the Thunder in the playoffs? That's not gonna work.
Mike, one last note before I let you go, because we have Kenny Anderson, former New Jersey Net, former Boston Celtic, to join us here on the show. Before he joins in, real quick, I just want to throw this little stat at you. Lakers averaging 102 points a game and giving up 99, which doesn't set a very good precedent. Out of these four teams, you tell me which one the Lakers would remove from the top eight and replace. Golden State Warriors, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Houston Rockets, or the Denver Nuggets? And Sarah, you can feel free to chime in on that one, too.
Nuggets.
Nuggets.
I'm not a fan of George Karl, so it wouldn't surprise me if he blew it with this roster.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. That's very fair. He doesn't have a real-name superstar on that team right now. So, Sarah, what about you? Out of those four teams, Golden State, Minnesota, Houston, and Denver, Which one of those teams can the Lakers replace in the top eight?
Not a clue.
She's honest. She's a football girl. She's honest. Mr. Tramontosi, I appreciate you joining us. Listen, everybody, Mike P, tomorrow, backsportspage.com. Mike, you know, looking forward to listening to the show as always. Again, one of the top-rated downloaded shows on Backsportspage Network. Really appreciate you taking a few minutes and giving us a call here on Sunday. Enjoy the NFL today, my friend.
No problem. You have a good one, Randy.
Thanks, Mike. So, Sarah, we heard from the New York contingency and we heard from the Dallas contingency. Your opinion on today's games, first off, and is this something that the Cowboys should have to worry about, right?
Well, the Cowboys, if they play their game, they should be fine. But if they try playing whatever team we're playing against, if we try to play their style, if we try to play their style the way they play, we're not going to win. The main thing that the Cowboys need to focus on is how they play the game, not how anybody else wants them to play, not how they're expected to play, like from the 90s. The Dallas Cowboys team from the 90s was phenomenal, and everybody keeps trying to compare this team that we have now to them. You can't. There is no way that Tony Romo is even slightly remotely in the same class as Troy Aikman. Not even close. Like, Troy Aikman would be like the president, and then Tony Romo is like the janitor. Completely opposite ends of the spectrum.
I think the analogy, I know where you're going with the analogy. It's interesting. It's an interesting analogy. I like it. I think that basically I think we're now at a point where Tony Romo, if he doesn't do it within the next 2 years, I think it's time to say that the next time the Cowboys are going to win a championship, the quarterback is not on the team right now. I think that's where we are at. And it's a shame, too, because he seems like he's such a good guy. You know, Romo, with the exception of the whole Jessica Simpson thing, He seems like he's a really, really good guy, and you wish the guy would have some more success than that. But he doesn't, and sometimes you just feel like the guy can't get out of his own way. Sometimes you just feel like you want the guy to succeed. You want the guy to succeed. You know, it's just the way it is, and it just doesn't pan out that way.
Pretty much. Do you hear ringing?
I do hear ringing.
It keeps doing this to me. I don't know what the heck it is. I don't know if that's coming from my end.
Hello?
Kenny Peterson, how are you? What's up, Kenny?
What's good, man? How you doing?
Kenny, you're on right now with Randy Zelia, Sarah Gordon, Back Sports Page Radio, Real Sports Talk Radio. How you doing, bud?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How's everything?
Good, Kenny. Lots going on in the NBA. We had a little bit of technical problems, so you were ringing while you were...
Yeah, on. We are. I'm like, you buzzing in and out. So.
But it's okay. I think we got you now. I think we got you perfect now. So, Kenny, I don't even, in this point, since you're an East guy, I was trying to figure out where to start with you. But it looks like, since you're down in the Florida area, that the Miami Heat are finally waking up from their off-season slumber and now have the best record again in the Eastern Conference at 18-6, won 4 in a row. Are we not giving the Heat right now the credit they deserve because of the slow start?
So I just think it's a hangover somewhat when you're defending champs. And you're getting everybody's best blow night in and night out, and they will be there. The only team right now that could compete with them, you know, and I think the Knicks can, and they're going through a little slump. I see, you know, a little slight slump. But and then you got to look at Chicago if Derrick Rose come back healthy. But, you know, the Heat will be there. They got the best player in the league, LeBron James. Now they got a healthy Dwayne Wade, who's at top of his game. I think he's shooting in this streak. He's back shooting, what, 51% from the field right now. He's on the streak. Defensively, they're playing much harder. They're rotating much quicker. So, you know, I had them coming out of the East before the season anyway. But with the Knicks and the new look, Melo, you know, they can really compete, you know, with the Miami Heat.
Kenny, here's my issue with the New York Knicks, and you know me, I'm a basketball guy, and I'm a stat guy, and I'm also a feel-the-game type of guy. I feel like the first 26 games that the New York Knicks have played, yes, it's been heavy on the three ball, but when all of a sudden, when teams start, and this is a reaction league and a league of adjustments, when you start reacting to the three ball, and you start being able to defend the three ball, will the Knicks still have the same amount of success when they're not able to get some of those open looks, or when we get to midseason form when those open looks are just not going in? Because that happens too.
Yeah, you can't live and die on a three-pointer, but what they do have is, you know, MVP candidate and Carmelo Anthony. Yes, it's a long season. You're going to have slumps, you know, but Carmelo Anthony, he's a prolific scorer. He causes a lot of double teams, and when it slows down, you can go into him. My question is, what are they going to do with Stoudemire when he comes back? Is he willing to accept any role that the Knicks give him so they can compete for a championship? That's the, you know, everybody wants to know that. And I think they're fine because defensively they're a very good team with Tyson Chandler and the calming influence of a Jason Kidd who's, you know, far as when the game slows down, he can make, you know, the right decision, and he also, you know, is a great leader. And then Raymond Felton, he's having a good year also as far as breaking people down, and he's a great pick-and-roll point guard. So I think they're fine. I just worry about what are they going to do when Stoudemire comes back.
The one team that seems to be falling underneath the radar here in the Eastern Conference, and it's sort of a surprise team, and I'm not talking about Milwaukee, I'm talking about Atlanta. I had Atlanta in my top eight. I had Atlanta making the eighth seed because I felt they had too much talent not to make it. Are you surprised that they're number three in the conference right now?
And you're talking about the Atlanta Hawks, that right?
Yes.
I'm not. They're probably doing good, but I don't. I'm not buying into that with the Hawks. I think they're going to be very good. You know, they're going to be, you know, 3, 4, 5, 3. They could even slip down to 4 or 5. But I don't know if they got that go-to guy. When things, like I said, when things slow down, who do they go to get a bucket? Who demands double teams? You know, I don't see it. But for the regular season, they're a very good team. Josh Smith is supposed to be that go-to guy, but he's inconsistent, and sometimes you just don't know what you're going to get from him. He's a great talent and great athlete, but I don't see, you know, in the playoffs them, you know, doing that great.
And they're also having some issues now with the point guard, shooting guard situation. Like you just said, Jeff Teague is a very good player, but they also have Devin Harris on the bench.
Yeah.
They seem to be lacking. They're lacking points in their front court. In their back court. I think in time, like you just said, it's going to even out. I think Philadelphia is going to crawl back into the top eight. I think Milwaukee's got a lot of backcourt talent. I like the Monte Ellis, Brandon Jennings backcourt and what Dunleavy can bring to the table. But it seems like Milwaukee's lacking a little bit up front. And I think in the later part of the year, when legs in the backcourt start getting a little tired, Brooklyn, Boston, and Philly will jump past Milwaukee. Out of those teams, do you see Brooklyn, Boston, and Philadelphia staying in that 6, 7, 8, 9 with Milwaukee right now, or do you see any of those teams shooting back up?
Yeah, I think Boston, will come up a little bit. They'll creep back once they get their identity back. I think by losing Ray Allen hurt them a little bit. Now they're trying to fit in Courtney Lee, Jason Terry, Green is trying to, you know, come along. But I think Boston, you know, with the experience of a Kevin Garnett, and you still have Paul Pierce and Rondo, one of the top guards in the league, they'll come up there. They might wind up 3-4. You never know. And I think Chicago is just, well, they play hard. You got to give a lot of credit to Coach Tibb. He gets those guys to play defense. And they give it all they got night in and night out. And they will be there at the end. But Milwaukee, Atlanta, Brooklyn, they're going to be somewhere around 4, 5, 6.
You know, I was watching the Knicks-Bulls game the other night a little bit. And a good question was raised. And I want to raise it to you as a former player. Do you find it weird that the Chicago Bulls gave the amount of money they did to Carlos Boozer, but he doesn't seem to be in any of these games when it's a closer game towards the end of the year? Have you ever seen situations like that?
I didn't really hear the question.
Okay.
Can you go over it again, please?
Sure, not a problem. It just seems like with the amount of money, because you remember during that free agent class that LeBron was in, you know, LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Carlos Boozer was one of those big-name free agents that Chicago gave a lot of money to.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem to be in any of these close games towards the end of the game. I want to ask you if you find it weird seeing a max guy who they gave max money to.
You see that. You know, Boozer, you know, his numbers was max, you know, numbers probably, but, you know, I say the same thing. You know, he's one of those players that you see, you'd be like, man, he could give us more. We want more. He could come. He just never really there in the clutch when you really need him to. When you really need him to be. But he's a very good player. But he just, I don't know if he's a max. You can look at, you know, the Joe Johnson situation. He got max. You know, is he a max player? He's a great. He's a great two guard. But is he a max player? You know, he doesn't, you know, really perform in the playoffs like we all expected. So, you know, no, I don't believe those two guys are max players, but the numbers and the situation they was in, the market, you know, got them paid handsomely, you know? So that's just how the business works.
You know, it's funny you bring up Joe Johnson with Brooklyn. I think that the Nets are going to regret making that trade. I don't think they're going to regret it now. I think they're going to regret it within 2 years. Making that deal, because you know, their salary cap situation is going to be very, very difficult. I would have been happy as a Nets fan growing up if you would have said to me, I know it's not the ideal situation to try and save money, but when you have the amount of draft picks and the amount of money that you had, you can bring in younger guys and make them your guys. Instead, you bring in a $100 million contract and the guy still is owed $90 million and he's on the other side of 30. You're taking a gamble.
Yeah, but they had to work quick. They built this team to win now, and yes, you have a point. You know, they probably could have did it, you know, building young. They already signed Deron Williams. He was the face of the program, of the organization. But, you know, now you bring in Joe Johnson, that's, you know, arguably the top backcourt, you know, in the league. You know, then you bring, you know, Brook Lopez, Gerald Wallace. They have, what they do have is individuals, great individual talent, you know, pieces. But is that going to work out for a team? And I think that's what they're going through right now. You know, you can put a bunch of talented pieces together, but if they don't gel and you don't have an identity, you know, it causes a lot of friction, and that's what's going on with the Nets right now. And Avery Johnson is trying to figure out his team identity and what's going on, you know, what's going on with the Nets. But they built that team to win now, especially when you're moving a franchise to a new city. You really don't have the time, you know, maybe the fans, you know, they want to see good product on the floor, number one, and then two, you want to win right away. So I just think it was a catch-22 situation, and they're going to have to figure it out. But I do agree with you. 2 years from now, they might, you know, they might want to blow up shop and rebuild again. And you have to rebuild around Deron Williams because that's your franchise player.
Right, man. And people, the way he's played this year, people are starting to question whether he deserves to get the money that he got this year. Kenny, I want to move over to the West real quick. I know because it's, you know, right by Christmas, you have a lot of things going on. When you were on First Take with Skip Bayless and Rob Parker, you got to talk about the Lakers situation. And there's something that you said, which I found funny, but it's so true. You made a comment saying you played on a couple bad teams, and you know, so you're familiar with the attitude and the body language. Are the Lakers a bad team?
You could not say, for the record, you know, with the talent they have on that team, you know, when you have a Kobe Bryant, Dwight Howard, Steve Nash, but he's been injured, but you have the talent, you shouldn't be considered a bad team. But the things that they were doing on the court defensively, you know, were signs of a bad team. You know, I've been there, you know, on how they were playing defense, and I don't know if they could get their defense together that quickly. Yes, when Steve Nash, he came back last night, he's going to help offensively, and I don't understand when, you know, some critics or some experts say he's going to help defensively. I don't know how. I don't see it. He's a little bit older, you know. He's 2-time MVP. He's a great player, but, you know, I just don't think he's in that shape of the D'Antonio system, the way when they had Stoudemire, Nash, Joe Johnson, Sean Marion in that system when they was all younger. This is a, you know, an older Steve Nash now, and it's really interesting to see as the season progressed, you know, how the team, the Lakers, are going to get better or they're going to just stay where they're at.
Is there any major surprises in the Western Conference that you've seen?
Golden State and Minnesota playing very well. But Golden State, you know, I got to give it to my guy Mark Jackson. You know, I'm really happy for him that he, you know, he's got these guys, you know, playing a great basketball. Stephen Curry, David Lee, even, you know, Harrison Barnes, Klay Thompson, these young guys that's really responding to Mark Jackson coaching style. And Minnesota with Love and Rubio, and he's been injured in and out of the lineup. But those guys play extremely hard for Rick Alderman. I think he's a great coach. Everywhere he's been able, you know, to turn an organization around and then make the playoffs. So I just think those two teams in the West are my surprise, Golden State, Minnesota. And I'm not surprised with Houston. You know, Houston was going to be, I thought was going to be a bad team, but when they made the trade for Harden, and that kind of like lifted them in a great way, you know. And it took a lot of pressure off Jeremy Lin, I tell you that. So I know he's very happy that they made that trade to get Harden.
Well, I said before, Houston now needs to go out this upcoming offseason and get an established big man who can give them about 15 points and 8 points a game to go with those two, and then they got a playoff team. And then they're not talking about a second-round playoff team. That's what they need right now.
Yeah, I agree. They're building it right. They did. they lucked. I don't know if it's lucky. You know, they lucked. They got James Harden. They lucked. Now they can build. You know, they got a good solid backcourt. You know, solid point guard in Jeremy Lin. Got a Patterson. He's been playing well. They got some good guards in there. What's the other kid's name? Parsons. He's up. He's up and down, but he puts it in. He goes hard. But like you said, they go out against big men. You know, maybe another shooter and a big man. They're going to be pretty good. They're going to be something to reckon with in the West.
I suggested that they move some of the young guys they got in the draft from last year and ask Utah if they're interested in trading either Millsap, Favors, or they're not going to part with Jefferson. Jefferson's their bread and butter. But
yeah.
If you're able to get a young guy like a Derek Favors in there to play with Harden and Jeremy Lin, that's a scary team.
I definitely would hit Utah. I think a lot of teams is going to be going after Utah because they got a lot of big men. They got a lot of options to do some good trades. When you got Favors, you're not going to go nowhere with Jefferson. You got Favors, you got Millsap, you got the big guy, Eaton.
He's good too. They got a lot of bigs, and I'm telling you, there's going to be teams. There's going to be teams that are close to it, like maybe a Memphis team that's looking to shore something up, or even there was talk of San Antonio possibly moving with one of the veteran pieces to try and get a younger piece in there to help groom for life after Duncan, and that time is coming.
That time is coming. You'll see a lot of, because it's a trade deadline, is almost looming, so. You'll see a lot of these contender teams trying to get that next piece to take them over the top. You know, they'll start, figuring out what they can do. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Kenny, listen, I know it's Christmas time. I know you're going to do stuff with your family this next 2 days. I want to thank you for a few minutes for coming on with us. Really, really appreciate it. And I hope you have a great holiday. We're definitely talking in the near future.
Happy holidays, man. Happy holidays. And y'all enjoy y'all Christmas. I hope Santa Claus gives y'all what y'all want on Christmas Day, man. Much love.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right.
The one and only Kenny Anderson joining us here on Real Sports Talk Radio. I can sort of, Sarah, as you can tell, I can sort of just go NBA with him for like hours. And just because it's sort of the way, it's my
That's
thing.
That's your sport.
That's my sport, and but if you ask Jose, football is my sport because I'm beating him in the pick six. That's another story. We also have Jose's pick six since he's not with us. And Sarah, we'll do this with you while we have a few minutes before we go into thumbs up to thumbs down. I don't think we've done thumbs up to thumbs down since the last time you joined us. Yeah, thumbs up, thumbs down is basically we pick four or five topics from during the week in the world of sports. It's almost like a lightning round of sports. Real quick, the only topic I didn't get to talk with Kenny about was DeMarcus Cousins from the Sacramento Kings has just been suspended indefinitely because he had, due to conduct issues, here's a guy who just doesn't seem to get it. How lucky he is. I understand he's had a rough upbringing and he has a hard time dealing with people, and you're a professional. You get paid to do a job. He's 20-something years old. Actually, I just think he turned 20 or 21. His third year in the NBA. They just suspended him. This team just suspended him for the third time due to conduct issues. I think the marriage between DeMarcus Cousins and Sacramento Kings might be over. I think they're probably going to move him during the offseason. Or they're going to try to move him at the deadline because he's just a walking disaster area.
I think that they really need to sit him down and explain that to him instead of just abandoning him.
I don't think he
gets the concept well enough that he needs to either A, get his head out of his rear end and go with the flow. I think the biggest problem with him is, for lack of a better term, his generation, because they all want to be unique individuals. They all want to be their own distinct personality, and it doesn't always work out that way, and unfortunately, the people that are suffering are the fans. So somebody really needs to sit that guy down, either slap him around a bit, not literally, figuratively, not actually smack him around. But they need to knock some sense into him. I mean, he's still young. He's got potential, but he's just throwing it all away.
And he needs to sit with his former coach, John Calipari. I think John Calipari has a good influence on him. He's the most winningest coach, one of the most winning coaches in college basketball. I think that's what's going to happen. As this story develops, we're probably going to go over a little bit more. Real quick, I have to go around the NBA with the news and notes. As we just talked about, the Kings banned Cousins definitely for conduct. LeBron James went on SportsCenter this past week saying it's not his job on the team to lead the NBA in scoring. Carmelo Anthony got thrown out of the game on Friday night against the Chicago Bulls for technicals. The league has rescinded one of the technical fouls. I don't think it really would have mattered at this point.
Why would they rescind it, though?
Because every technical foul and every foul in the NBA has to be reviewed by the league, and the league can rescind it. Every technical foul comes with a fine. I do believe it's a $5,000 or $10,000, maybe even $15,000 fine. I have to get the clarification on that. So they can rescind a technical foul. If they're watching, the referees are not perfect, and this is how they monitor the referees.
Yeah.
What bothers me is that the referees show no accountability during these games, but that's a whole other topic that
I hate refs.
I hate with a passion.
I know
you with when you coach that you hate dealing with referees because they're so inexperienced.
I almost got thrown out of Timothy's basketball game yesterday.
Not for nothing, I would have paid to see them.
Oh, they don't have the guts to throw me out, though. I mean, there's been numerous times where I should have been thrown out, ejected as a coach. I mean, I had one season for indoor soccer. I had one of the refs, it was a female. I had her in tears by the end of the game.
Are you coaching basketball?
I'm helping. I'm not actually able to be the head coach this season.
Gotcha. Really quick, just go over the quick injury notes. Ty Lawson for the Denver Nuggets. He has an Achilles injury. He'll be out this week. Rasheed Wallace from the Knicks has a stress reaction. May or may not play on Christmas. That's his game time decision. And Mo Williams from the Utah Jazz injured his thumb. He has an MRI coming up this week. Transferring back over to the NFL. Oh, sorry, real quick. Scoreboard for NBA scoreboard for today. The Nets are hosting Philly. New York is hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves before they head out to Los Angeles for Tuesday. The Orlando Magic hosting the Utah Jazz. Spurs hosting the Mavericks in the Battle of Texas. The Phoenix Suns are hosting the Los Angeles Clippers. And the Kings are hosting the Trailblazers tonight at 9. Don't really think there's a real need to go over last night's scores for the NBA. We're hop over to back over to the NFL last night. As we were talking about right at the outset of the show, Detroit losing to Atlanta 31-18. But the real story is Calvin Johnson breaks Jerry Rice's receiving record for a season. Congratulations to Megatron. In a game that really didn't mean much because the Detroit Lions playoff hopes were dashed on Thanksgiving Day. Sarah, there's one thing I got to say about the Detroit Lions. People were sitting there figuring out what was wrong with them. Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford is why we have St. Louis today. Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson, their numbers are better than they were last season. The difference between their numbers this year and last year is the team's losing this year. And that seems to be overshadowing a lot of different issues that the Lions have.
Their problem is their defense.
Yeah, they can't stop the run at all, and that's
just
killing them.
Just because you have your stats are better on the offensive side, what the thing that I was always brought up believing was offense wins games, defense wins championships. And if
exactly.
The Lions want to be a competitive team, they really need to focus more on their defensive skills. I mean, they have the players that could do it. They just don't push them hard enough. They really don't.
Well, Sarah, let's really jump through some of these games real quick. We're going to start with Tennessee and Green Bay. Tennessee is really not playing for anything. Green Bay wants to put some more distance between them and Chicago. Who do you like in this one?
I'm going to go with Green Bay.
I think that's a very, very good good shot. Now here, the Colts are looking to and probably one of the best stories that nobody's talking about in football, and I was originally going to throw this in thumbs up, thumbs down. The Indianapolis Colts are with rookie quarterback Andrew Luck, getting ready to clinch a playoff spot. They're playing Kansas City in Kansas City, and the tragedy in Kansas City aside from a couple weeks ago, the Colts are getting back their head coach, and their head coach has been fighting cancer, and they said he's cancer-free. They'll be joining the team back on the sidelines. Again, one of the unknown stories, the untalked about stories in the NFL season this year. Are the Colts the best story in football we're not talking about?
Yes and no. I mean, they've got great players, but they've also had great players for years. So it's not like it's anything new. I mean, the quarterback's different from last season. But there's still so many names that are still there from, the Manning era, for lack of a better term. So, I mean, I think that it's getting as much attention as it needs. It's just not, it's not an overwhelmingly impressive statistics, for lack of a better term. Like the Robert Griffin III, I can talk today, really, I can. What he's done is impressive. If you compare those two, they're both rookie quarterbacks, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, I thought so. So you've got two rookie quarterbacks. If you compare them side by side, I think that the fact that the – I don't remember the Colts quarterback's name, sorry.
Andrew Luck.
Thank you. All right. I think because of how well the Colts did last year – that Luck just kind of got lucky for, you know, not trying to be funny, but he got lucky with being able to have the players around him that will help keep him looking like, one of the best rookie quarterbacks out there. But, I mean, I don't think that they need any more coverage than they already are, because the rest of the team is still, not all of it, but for the most part, it's the same as it was last season, so...
Looking around some of the leagues, you know, Buffalo and Miami doesn't really have many storylines you can really focus on. Situation. St. Louis and Tampa. Oakland, Carolina, New England, and Jacksonville doesn't even have that many storylines. The Patriots are going to try and keep rolling, get back on the winning ways. Cleveland and Denver. The games that are the eye-openers for this week are the San Francisco-Seattle game, because the NFC West is on the line.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants and the Ravens, because it's still
the
a marquee game.
The
Ravens! I figured you'd say that. Can't even really focus on Cleveland versus Denver, because Denver's pretty much all locked up. Minnesota is fighting for their playoff life against Houston. And
that's going to be a good game to watch.
That's going to be a very fun game to watch. And then Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. That's
going to be a joke.
Cincinnati is in line, right, is ahead of Pittsburgh right now for those final playoff spots. So
oh, no, I know. Pittsburgh has no chance at this point.
If they would have beaten Dallas last week, I think they would be in the driver's seat, but they're not right now.
Yeah. They defeated themselves, actually. I mean, when it came down to it, they had the opportunity and they could not hold on to it, and Dallas said, all right, well, you're not going to take it, then we are. So, see you.
Well, just because we have to get on to thumbs up, thumbs down, I'm going to go over the pick six for this week. Jose and I had the three games. We can go head-to-head on or stay on the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
He has chosen the 49ers. I have chosen the Seahawks. We both picked the Pittsburgh Steelers to beat the Cincinnati Bengals. He chose the Ravens, and I'm choosing the Giants. And then our three other games, we picked the Minnesota-Texas game for Jose. He's picking the Texans. He's picking the Broncos over the Browns and the Miami Dolphins over the Buffalo Bills. I have the San Diego Chargers over the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm.
I have Tampa Bay beating St. Louis. And then I also have the New Orleans, and I have the New Orleans Saints over the Dallas Cowboys. So,
of course you do.
Because I knew you were co-hosting, I just had to say it just despite you. Just like you have to, just like you have to pick the Giants just despite me against the Giants just despite me. So.
Well, no, I just don't think that the Giants are doing that well at this point. They scored zero in their last game. Zero. A big fat goose egg. Come on. You can't tell me that that's a team that deserves to be in the playoffs. You can't tell me that that is the same Super Bowl winning champs. No, not even in the slightest bit. And if that is, then I don't know what happened last season to the rest of the NFL because, man, they are an absolute joke at this point.
760-283-0846. You can also follow Sarah and I on Twitter. Sarah's Twitter handle is, you can spell it out because it's, I always like, the thing I always probably pronounce it, like say it wrong, it's LDYFLWR.
FLOWR. It's F-L-O-W-R. Lady Flower without the A and the E.
Okay. And then I'm Rzelia, Rzelia, BSP. And also follow Real Sports Talk on Facebook. We have some pretty funny photos from when Jose and I were out and about talking with sports fans the other day. So that will be coming probably the beginning of the new year. Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down is up next. Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down is brought to you by Upbeat Custom Creations. You can supply your business or sports team with our embroidered polo shirts, screens, T-shirts, and ad specialties like hats, pens, all different types of items. Call Mike at 877-787-2328. That's 877-7-UPBEAT. Or visit them at www.upbeatcustomcreations.net. At Upbeat, we help bring fame to your name. Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down. Different topics this type of week, this time around. Last week we had a big amount of topics. We had 10 topics. This week we shrunk them down a little bit because we just didn't want to go too far. Sarah, I sent you the list earlier this week, and I'm going to go backwards going up. Starting back to last Sunday, the Dallas Cowboys let Josh Brent on the sidelines. Thumbs up, thumbs down on this.
Thumbs down.
Why is it thumbs down?
I understand what they were hoping to do as far as Josh Brent is concerned, that they want to show their support to him, to let him know that we do not approve of what you did. What you did was wrong, but we understand that that's your best friend and you need moral support. But by allowing him to be on the sidelines at the game, it's pretty much like a slap in the face to the rest of the world. Because, A, it looks as if the Dallas Cowboys are saying, oh, it's okay to be driving drunk and killing your best friend. It looks as though they're saying, oh, we don't care what anybody else thinks. We're just going to take you with us. I think what they should have done with that situation was not allow him to be on the field, keep contact with him, see how he's doing, you know, be supportive of him, but not the way that they're doing it, because it looks too much from my standpoint as a mother. If that were my child that was killed by a drunk driver, I would be highly offended to see him sitting on the sidelines at a professional football game when he should be at home where he can be supported by his teammates, not in front of thousands of people. It's just absolutely disrespectful.
And showing on the big screen, and he got booed out of the building. I say thumbs down. What I think is even more chaotic, and you know, you've heard me say on this show that what happens in the front office is a reflection of what shows on the field. They said that the ownership didn't know that he was going to be on the sidelines. The coach didn't even realize he was on the sidelines until he noticed it on the big screen, which I find to be ridiculous. That's what I said too. I find that to be ridiculous. So I say thumbs down to the Cowboys for letting this happen and making sure that this guy, you know, he has an ankle bracelet on until all the stuff is sorted out legally. I think until that's all started off, this guy's doing time. He's going to be away.
Yep.
I think when that's all done, I think after Roger Goodell talks to him and he serves his suspension and serves his jail time, then he can start showing his face around the Cowboy facility. Until then,
The Dallas Cowboys are America's team. And by doing what they did, they're showing America that they don't mean that much to us. That America's team cares more about themselves than they do the rest of the public. And don't get me wrong, I love my Cowboys. That's my team, and it will always be my team. But I think they have handled this entire situation absolutely backwards. They should have done the exact opposite of what they did. I mean, I thought it was sweet that I can't remember the player who died's name now.
Oh, Brown.
Yeah, thank you. His mom is standing by Josh, saying, you know, that yes, my son is gone, but Josh is grieving just as much as she is. And I thought that was sweet, but you know, deep down inside, she was offended that he was there as well.
No, definitely.
She's not going to come out and say that because she doesn't want to look like the bad guy. I mean, by her saying what she did, it makes her look more, I don't want to say understanding, but more forgiving. You know, especially in this time with all the horrible things that are happening in the world. Just, I don't know if that's why she did it, you know, just to be kinder. I don't know, but I don't think that I would be able to do what she did and say that, you know, I understand the pain that you're going through. I don't think I could have done that.
I'm not buying it. And you know, I think he needs to be away for a little while. And he left right after they showed him on the screen. They sorted him out. Real quick, the next topic, thumbs up, thumbs down, the NHL Players Union dissolves so they can take the NHL to court to try and salvage the NHL season as in the lockout. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs down. It's such a waste of resources, such a waste of time. I mean, there are better things that they could be doing. I mean, you make enough money doing what you're doing. I mean, give me a break. It's just bull. You can't tell me that you're making multi-million dollar contracts that you need more money. I don't think so. Thumbs down in my book.
I agree. I think this has gone on long enough. The players should have taken the owner's proposal of 50-50, splitting everything down the middle. The players rejected it, and once that happened, you lose all respect to the players because then they just come off as greedy.
Yep.
Sarah, I didn't have a chance to ask you before the show. Did you happen to watch the video that I sent you the link for about Terrell Owens?
Yes, I did.
I laughed through
half of it.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Terrell Owens deserves a second chance after seeing his interview on First Take this week.
What do you mean? Like,
deserve another shot at the winning the public over by getting another shot in the NFL? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
He's never going to be able to win another shot to be playing in the NFL. He's way too hated. You know, he burned his bridges for every team that he played for, except the Patriots, I think, was the one that he didn't showboat.
It was with the Bengals, not with the Patriots.
I don't remember. Once he left the Cowboys, I was done with them. So.
Yeah, he played with Buffalo, and then he played with the Cincinnati Bengals, and that was the end.
Okay.
I'm gonna say. I felt the same way when I saw Chad Ochocinco or Chad Johnson, whatever you want to call him, after his incident in Miami this year where he got let go. After hearing the interviews, I respect Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless and the way they handle these interviews with these guys. I always feel that everyone deserves another chance. I think all those receivers have something to bring to the table. Do I think a lot of these receivers are a dime a dozen? Yeah, because they all can do sort of the same thing, some more athletic than others. But the problem is when you're getting a T.O., a Chad Johnson, a Plaxico Burress, you're getting all the baggage that comes with them. With Plaxico Burress, you're getting the media attention from him going to jail for guns.
Mm-hmm.
When you get Chad Johnson, you get the showboating and you get the reality shows and all these, you know, the superstar wife. You get all that stuff that comes with it. And with Terrell Owens, you have a guy who can single-handedly divide your locker room. And you have to
not just the locker room.
Well, and the fan base and the organization as a whole. You know, he did it in San Francisco. He threw people underneath the bus in San Francisco. He did it again in Philadelphia. You know, Donovan McNabb was his number one supporter, and then all of a sudden Donovan was like, I'm not supporting this guy anymore. Right? Donovan was – the thing is, though, Terrell Owens has always told the truth. Like, everything he says, he's telling the truth. Sometimes the truth has gotten him into trouble. But he's always telling the truth, and that's what was brought out in that interview.
Yeah.
If you ask me, I give a thumbs up. I think if this appearance helped him try and save some face, and you know, to the NFL owners and GMs to try and get him a job, I'll say yeah. I say, you know, he came off humble enough. He came off that, you know, if it doesn't work, he's okay with it. I just think that maybe we should look the other way and give him a shot. One more shot. You know, it didn't work in Seattle because they just had a too young of a squad and they didn't want him being too demanding. So,
Well, I think the way that they handled the interview, the two guys that interviewed him, I think the one was really rude 90% of the interview, and the other one just kept trying to change the subject in the middle of what T.O. was saying. So, I mean, I don't think that he got a fair shake, for lack of a better term, in this the interview from last week. But, I mean, if he really is sincerely interested in playing again, he's really going to have to clean up his whole image. I mean, he still walks around with the big giant studs in his ears. He still walks around wearing, you know, all this flashy jewelry and stuff. America doesn't want to see somebody like that anymore. That's not what we're looking for in our players. So if he wants to be back as a pro football player, he's got to start cleaning himself up, I guess you could say. I mean, he looked presentable in the interview, but if you look at what the interviewers were wearing versus what he was wearing, it makes him look like a college football player versus a professional football player. But that's just my opinion.
Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless always seem to do a very good job when they're doing these types of interviews. I had no problem with the questions that Skip was throwing out there, and I had no problems with the situation that Stephen A. Smith was putting T.O. in. And T.O. has always been very honest with Stephen A., and Stephen A. and Terrell have always fought back and forth. So I think, again, I thought it was a very good interview. Both guys did a good job. We're talking to T.O. Skip Bayless is always very harsh with his guests, and I'm fine with it because, you know, that's the role he's supposed to be playing on television. And not only that, but Skip is a great, you know, a respected columnist for the sports world. 35 years of doing it. Yeah, he's earned his stripes to ask these athletes questions and put them on the hot seat. Because a lot of these guys want to be asked powder-puff questions that's going to make them look good. They just refuse to do that to T.O. and Chad Johnson. So I say kudos to them. And the last one is a topic I know you feel very strongly about, and I know you're probably going to go a little further into detail with this on Sound Off. But I wanted to get your reaction, thumbs up, thumbs down, to the athletes, Derek Jeter and Victor Cruz, for reaching out to the Sandy Hook victims.
That's a thumbs up and then some. Absolutely a thumbs up. Unfortunately, my cousins, live there in Sandy Hook. They went to school in that elementary school. So when you talk to, or when I talked to them, they said that there's been so much support, so much outpouring from not just regular people, from the professionals, that it doesn't look like the professionals are trying to take away from the situation, which is good. It looks like they're trying to help ease the situation a little bit, because it's tough. I mean, that's 26 lives lost. 20 of them were under the age of 8. I mean, that's just, they're just starting their lives. I mean, the game when Victor Cruz, when they showed his shoes, I was surprised he was actually able to hold back the tears that you saw in his eyes. And I thought that was one of the most unselfish things that I've ever seen, as far as from a professional athlete that's never met the little boy, never met his family, but he wanted to make sure that everybody knew that they're there for the families that lost loved ones.
The story that broke this past week, again, Victor Cruz also made sure when he went out to Connecticut to see the families, he made sure that there was no media following him. He wanted to try and keep it under wraps. He talked about it in his Wednesday media session, but he didn't tell anybody when he was going up there. He just said he was going to go up there this upcoming week, or this past week. Derek Jeter also made a phone call to one of the teachers' families that was lost. She was a very, very big, very big Yankee fan and a very big fan of Derek Jeter. Oh, she was known as a Jeter fanatic. And Derek spoke to her mother and basically, said, "Listen, you know, we're always here for support, and they're going to bring the family down during the season so Jeter can meet with them." Derek is down in Florida right now rehabbing his foot. I've had the opportunity to speak with Derek before all of this, and Derek says after the night we saw him a couple weeks ago for his event in New York City, Derek pretty much told me that after that he's going down to Florida and he wasn't planning on coming back up into the area, but he's rehabbing. He made sure he called the family, and from what I got told from the Yankees organization to get a comment about this, they told me that Derek plans to come up to see the families a little bit before spring training, and then during the season he's going to invite them down to a couple of days in New York so he can spend time with them. Victor Cruz and Derek Jeter are known to being class acts in this industry. I'm not trying to undersell the tragedy of what happened. This kid was this kid obviously has a lot of problems. They're now exposing some more of the issues that he had growing up, that he didn't really talk much. He was a real big computer person, and he lived in his basement where all the guns were, and he was like a big video game guy with guns involved, like the Call of Duty games.
Again, yep.
There's a lot of fingers pointed here.
They're never going to get to the bottom of it. This country has such serious issues with mental illness. They do not want to address that issue. Automatically, everyone goes immediately, once there's some type of gun violence, "Oh, it's because of the guns." Guns don't kill people. People kill people. And if you look at all these mass shootings that have happened over the last 20 years, only one of them was done by a female. And most, if not more than 50% of them, were done by someone with some type of mental disorder, whether it's schizophrenia or whatever it is. But most of them have been on some type of medication, an antipsychotic, that can actually cause you to do absolutely crazy things. But I think if this country really wants to help these people, these families, the victims of the shooting, they really need to look at the main cause. The mental illness needs to be looked at. And until they do that, unfortunately, I think we're going to see things like this. I pray that we won't ever see something like this again. I mean, that is the most horrific thing I think I've ever heard of, outside of genocide and Holocaust during war. I mean, these are just little children trying to learn, wanting to grow up. Some of them wanted to be firemen, doctors, all sorts of different things, and now they can't. But I think what Derek Jeter and Victor Cruz did was awesome. I hope that other people take notice of that and do stuff like that. I mean, there's people that are talking about doing 26 acts of kindness, one for each of the people that lost their lives. I mean, there's so much different things that people can do out there that if they are interested in helping those families and they want to do it anonymously, they can. So I think thumbs up big time for Victor Cruz and Derek Jeter.
I agree, and I've given my reasoning before. This was a senseless tragedy that should never have happened. And like you said, it's not about gun control. It's about helping. Instead of pushing off kids who are having mental disorders and stress, I also think a big part of it, and as a parent, you can agree or disagree with me on this part of it. I think a lot of it is to, you know, I brought up the topic of guns with, you know, guns and video games and things like that. I think that I'm trying to figure out the right wording on this. Is I know people who play a lot of these shooting games.
They're entirely too realistic.
Exactly. They're too realistic, and they, you know, I think it sets a very bad precedent. And like, if it was me, I wouldn't. There's a reason why. There's the warning label, you know, certain ages and stuff like that for the
mm-hmm.
games. I think parents should be doing a better job. I don't think that the kids should not play the games because at the end of the day, it's a video game. But at the same time, I think it should be monitored more.
Yeah.
I think you're a responsible parent, so I know you. There's no worries about you having to monitor anything because you're a great mom. But there's
Thank
others
you.
Who are just.
But I still monitor
others.
Anyway.
I know you do. I'm saying there's just a bunch of parents who don't. There was a bunch of parents who just say, okay, here's your video game, go play.
Yeah.
And you know, but you mix that with this crazy, you know, the mother seems like she was very unstable as well. But you say, okay, now I'm going to put you in a room. You can stay out downstairs, play your games. And by the way, you can stare at the guns all day if you want.
See, that's what people are saying. They were actually, the guns were actually in a safe. She did have them... She did teach her boys about gun safety, how to use a weapon properly, what weapons are used for. But the problem is when you play those video games with those guns, you become desensitized to the actual violence. So, I mean, it's very possible that this kid ended up having a psychotic break, and in his head, he thought he was still playing the video game.
Yeah,
we will never know. What was
there's
going
so
through
much,
his head?
There's
Ever.
So much. There's so much that's going on there. Again, I really don't like the use of this sports show for this type of forum.
Yeah.
But, you know, I figured it was in the mold of the conversation. Real quickly, Sarah, we have to jump off the sound off. The sound off. Last couple minutes here. If you want to go ahead, you're up first.
Okay. I'm gonna make it short and sweet. I really don't even know what to say. But, okay. Well, I think we've got the year is coming to a close soon. We've had great seasons for various sports. I know for me, I enjoyed watching my Cowboys play. I'm looking forward to seeing them play in the playoffs next year. But, I think that by the time the NHL gets their act in gear, the season will not be able to happen, so they won't. All those hockey fans out there will either have to watch reruns of it, or we'll have to watch amateurs play. As far as basketball goes, I'm looking forward to watching the Miami Heat win again and again and again. And I have to quote my son for something. We were talking about NASCAR the other day, and for some reason, I don't know why he brought it up, but he said, all it is they drive around, and then they make a left, then make another left, left again, turn left again, all the time, left, left, left. He's sitting there with a monotone voice and a blank look on his face. I don't get NASCAR, but he thought it was the funniest thing. So did I at the time. But anyway, so yeah, NASCAR, not fun, boring, too many left turns. Let's see, anything else that I can think of? Nope, I can't really think of anything else. So there's my sports rant, for lack of a better term.
with the NFL season coming to a close, Major League Baseball hot stove season going, and the NBA season in full swing, and no NHL hockey. You look back at the year 2012 in sports, and there's many different emotions. Sadly, in the sports world, like the AP and Yahoo Sports made sure they bought out. The top four out of the five stories were negative stories, with obviously the Penn State story being the worst sports story of the year. And if you're a sports fan, you want to say goodbye to 2012 as quickly as you can and usher in 2013. The best three stories in my eyes in pro sports in 2012, obviously, as a New York fan, the New York Giants winning the Super Bowl, LeBron James finally getting an NBA championship, and definitely seeing the rise of college football in New York City with Rutgers taking a good step forward without Greg Schiano as head coach. For this week, this was Sarah Gordon. I'm Randy Azalea. Jose will be back next week. We're going to do the year in review in sports. Check us out, Real Sports Talk Radio on Facebook. And
happy holidays, everybody.
And Real Sports Talk Radio on Twitter as well. For Sarah Gordon, I'm Randy Azalea. Like she just said, happy holidays, everybody.